this was a gift given by the Holy Spirit in order for other people to suddenly wake up and realize God is speaking, God is doing something powerful. But this is one way which tongues is talked about in the Bible. I always like to see what Jesus says. He doesn't say much about this because it was kind of after him. But he does say this in Mark 16. He says, this is the Great Commission. He says, go into the world and preach the gospel to all creation. We've heard that before, haven't we? But he also goes on to say, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. So Jesus does declare before this happens, there are many things that are going to happen beyond me when the Spirit comes. And people will know that you are representing me by the things you will do, such as driving out demons and speaking in tongues are two examples given there. And there are more things talked about. Tonight, though, we're going to be looking a lot in Corinthians. And if you want to kind of follow along, I would suggest getting 1 Corinthians 14 up, because that is a lot of stuff in there. We're going to flick around a little bit. We're going to be 1 Corinthians 12 as well, but it will all be on the screen because we just don't have time to everyone find it in your Bibles. So, and if you're making notes, I hope you rested your wrist. 1 Corinthians 14, 27 to 28. Paul is writing. He says, if anyone speaks in a tongue, two, or at the most three, should speak one at a time, and someone must interpret. If there is no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and to God. 1 Corinthians 14, later on, it says the gifts, it talks about how the gifts are not forbidden, but they should be used properly, because Paul says, so my dear brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy, and don't forbid speaking in tongues, but be sure that everything is done properly and in order. Tongues interpretation go together because it is so vital. They have a clear purpose as laid out in Scripture. And one of the purposes is to help us as a church understand what God is saying. And so Paul says right at the beginning, and this is where I want to lay this as an absolute foundation, speaking in tongues is great, but speaking in tongues without interpretation is not great for the body. And so when we think about tongues, there are two categories you could think about the use of the gift of tongues. And the first one I think about is about building a relationship with God. One way and one kind of tool is probably the best way to understand that we can use to build our relationship with God is to use tongues, to pray, to worship in tongues as given to us, whether that be in another language or whether that be in something which sounds like complete gibberish but is a spiritual kind of utterance to God. 1 Corinthians 14, 1-4, Paul says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy, which we heard from Ali last week. If you didn't hear it, listen to it. It was very good. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. But everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. Speaking in tongues is something which is good, but we need to remember almost from the get-go that it's about self-edifying you and God, building that relationship. Spouting tongues at someone cannot always help that person if there is not interpretation. And the Bible tells us, in fact, Paul says, prophecy is way better because people understand prophecy. They can hear and understand from God. But it doesn't mean it shouldn't happen. It's just recognizing that tongues is often used for us and God in a relationship kind of setting. The one who speaks in tongues builds himself up or herself up, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. And Jude, that book in the Bible that you all remember is there when someone brings it up, it's just one chapter. Just Jude, verse 17 to 21 says, but dear friends, remember what the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the people who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourself in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Throughout Scripture, there's often this talk about praying the Spirit, praying through the Holy Spirit, the Spirit praying through us with groans and words that we do not understand. And this seems to be referring to the idea of tongues, that it is a way that we can pray, we can communicate with God, even if the words we're speaking don't maybe, they're not a language we'd understand or that other people around us would understand. And so it can be good. And for people who have been gifted with tongues, can often kind of explain to people that it's hard for me to explain to you in the moment what's going on, but it's something about, I feel so connected with God in that moment. There was something about me and God praying, worshiping, and it's beautiful and it's wonderful. And I think this is what scripture tells us. It's about building ourselves up and that relationship with God. However, there are of course so many ways that we build our relationship with God. Tongues is not the only way, and it's not even the most important way, as Paul makes clear, that actually to hear prophecy, to hear words that we can understand, which builds up the body, is more important, really. So the first thing I want people to understand is tongues is great, tongues is wonderful, but tongues is not, if I need to build a relationship with God, I better be able to speak in tongues. That is rubbish. It is one way, one tool, as much as speaking in English or any other language, praying, reading your Bible, serving. There are so many ways that we develop and build our relationship with God. But the gift of tongues is a tool that is offered to some people. And the other reason the Bible talks about the gift of tongues is given with interpretation is to build up the body, us, the church. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 5, I wish you could all speak in tongues, but even more, I wish you could all prophesy. For prophecy is greater than speaking in tongues, unless someone interprets what you are saying, so that the whole church will be strengthened. So again, Paul's made it clear, tongues is great, prophecy arguably better, but if there is interpretation of tongues, then it builds the body. So someone speaks in tongues, and you should maybe wait for interpretation. And 1 Corinthians 14, 18 to 19 says, I thank God, says Paul, that I speak in tongues more than all of you. But in the church, I would rather speak 5 intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. So it's pretty clear the message that Paul is building. He is for tongues. He loves tongues. He wishes we could all speak in tongues. But when it comes to the body, it comes to the collective, tongues without interpretation can be a little bit useless. I grew up in a Pentecostal church, very happy-clappy, going for it, a Pentecostal church. And I remember Pastor Dando, the guy who planted the church and ran the church. And often in our prayer and worship times, people would bring tongues. It was normally Granny, if I'm honest, would stand up and off she would go. She'd get about 10 seconds before Pastor Dando would stand up and he would simply say, quiet! And I used to think, wow, I could never say that to an adult. Imagine what they'd say to little 8-year-old Dan. But he used to say it and they would be quiet. And he would say, is there any interpretation? And sometimes there were. Often there wasn't. And he would say, thank you, bless you, we'll move on. He would stop it. And to that day, I always remember that going on. It was amazing, you know, just the idea of allowing a moment of tongues, but with no interpretation. He would bless them, but say, we need to move on, because that is for you and God, and what you might be doing is wonderful, but the rest of us will get a bit bored while we listen. And Granny could go on if you really let her do that, trust me. So it was good, but it shows the use of it in church settings and how it can be. Still in 1 Corinthians 14, verses 26 to 28. What then, brothers, when you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. If any speak in a tongue, let there be only 2 or at most 3, and each in turn, and let someone interpret. But if there is no one to interpret, let each of them keep silent in church and speak to himself and to God. As Paul says, we come together and we do many things to worship God, bring for God. The gift of tongues is one of those things. But without interpretation, its use for the larger body is actually meant to be, it's not meant to be used for that, effectively. It's not that it's wrong to suddenly speak in a tongue, there should be interpretation. And sometimes someone very godly might say, that's wonderful, but could you just shut up, Dan, because no one knows what you're saying, there is no interpretation. And that would be the right thing to do. Because our spiritual gifts are for building up the church. And all the different gifts we've been looking at and the ones we'll look at, they are given to us by God ultimately to build his kingdom, to build his church, to build us up. He is equipping us. Soul Survivors say this every year, but God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. And what he's given us is the tools we need. And tongues is one of those tools and has a place. I don't know where your church history, your church background is up, but one thing that I have discovered and I've experienced is the misunderstandings of the gift of tongues over the years, many different denominations, different church backgrounds, different traditions. There was stuff going on in the 70s and 80s that my own parents have told me about, where certain church denominations use the gift of tongues almost as a badge, almost as a, you've not received the Holy Spirit unless, you know, God has not come upon you unless. And my understanding is that many of those churches have since kind of held their hands up and said, we were actually wrong. That was, we were caught up. It was a movement of stuff going on. And that's not actually, you know, the only sign of you receiving the Spirit. But I am aware that for some people, that could be something that maybe has, you've struggled with. Maybe that's hurt you. Maybe that's that. And I think we need to remember that's not God and his gifts. That is us, the part which is the difficult, rubbishy part of the church, which is humans, our misunderstandings, our eagerness to use things. The gift of tongues is never meant to be a weapon used to show someone that you're spiritually better than them. It's not like a scout badge to say, I've been here longer, I've completed these classes, look what I've got. Some of the most holy and godly people I know don't have the gift of tongues, because it doesn't work that way. Have the gift of tongues, you're better. Definitely doesn't work that way. Romans 8 says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Paul, before we get to 1 Corinthians, he's saying that God's Spirit is there with us, connects us back and forth to God. There is this connection. And sometimes I think tongues just becomes a verbal outflowing of that connection. But there's always, you don't have to speak to have that connection. The Spirit is still there with us, still connected to God. You may have a moment or a day or of utter silence with God, and it is just as precious, just as special than someone who is able to eloquently speak tongues. Paul says that he wishes we could all have it. It seems to be something that he loves having, and he wants us all to have it, but it also tells us, not only does he think it's good for people to have it, his language also shows us that he knows that not all will have it. Because otherwise he would say, you need to all get this, but he doesn't use that language. It's, guys, I wish you could have this, you know? And I'm sure we've all got elements of that. We look at someone, you know, I've turned 35 this year, and I think the football career days have probably passed, because not many take on 35-year-olds now on a professional level. So I had to come to that idea of, you know, oh, I wish, you know, maybe. But I was never good enough, not even close. But Paul has this when it comes to tongues. And so sometimes that can be amplified and has been amplified throughout the church as a tradition. Well, Paul thinks we should all have it, so we should all have it. They're different things. Do we get that? You know, Paul wants the whole world to receive Jesus. We all do as Lord and Savior, but we know from experience that it's not happening. But it doesn't mean we can't wish for it. 1 Corinthians 12, 27-31 says, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Again, it's just Paul once again pointing out, it is one of many gifts. Not all have it, not all receive it. But it is something there available. So the misunderstanding over the years of the idea, is speaking in tongues a sign of the Holy Spirit? Well, yes, it's a sign of the Holy Spirit, absolutely. It is a gift of the Holy Spirit, but it's not the only sign. And again, you only need to look at Scripture to discover this. I'm not going to read them all through, but Acts, as we looked before, Acts 2, Holy Spirit turns up, the disciples speak tongues. We see this. Later on in Acts 10, Peter is summoned to speak to Cornelius, one of the Roman centurions who's had a real revelation of God and who Jesus is. And so they receive the Spirit, even though they're not Jewish people, and they speak in tongues. And Peter's reaction is, well, we've got to flip and baptize them now, because, you know, look at what's happened. And in Acts 19, when Paul comes across a group of people who are understanding who Jesus is, the Savior, they receive the Spirit, they believe, and it says the Holy Spirit came on them and began speaking with tongues and prophesying. But throughout all of Acts, those are the only three stories where people became believers, received the Holy Spirit, and then spoke in tongues. And if we were here looking at all the options when that didn't happen, we'd be here all night. So you can receive the Holy Spirit, become a believer, God literally becomes part of your life, Spirit inside you, but tongues doesn't necessarily follow. So for anyone who you've been told that, you've been taught, and you have, and that has affected you, then I'm sorry, because you are no lesser a person because you've not received the gift of the Spirit. You know, you've no lesser being baptized by the Spirit of God if you then didn't speak tongues. That's not how it works for all. For some it does, but for others it doesn't. Does someone have to pray in tongues to be filled with the Holy Spirit? I'm hoping by now you've got my labored point of no. No, they don't. But they may. And great. If that happens, because they've just received a gift from God. And isn't that wonderful? Or they have a gift from God and it's being exercised. But remember, some of our gifts, you know, some of us are given the gift of administration. And you don't always see that when you pray for someone. You don't pray for them and notice that they've got up their organizer and they're filling in diary appointments. Or it doesn't happen, does it? Because some gifts have to be lived and worked out elsewhere. It just happens to be an obvious gift that maybe kind of manifests itself there and then. And I think that's partly why it's become a thing. It's become this stigma of, oh, you need to have that. Oh, you need to speak in tongues and shake and fall over to receive the Spirit. And that's just not true. One example I did want to pull out is Acts 2. After the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples, they received the Holy Spirit, they spoke in tongues. All these people stopped and went, oh, that's weird. I can understand them in my own language, and I'm from miles away. Peter spoke, he preached the gospel, and 3,000 people that day joined the church. And you can see here, they joined, they were baptized, but there is no talk there of those people speaking in tongues. There's no talk of that happening. And you think they would have recorded that, because they recorded the disciples receiving it, and if then 3,000 people also received the gift of tongues because the Holy Spirit became part of their life as believers, it would have been written. It wasn't. So, you know, at that time, you could argue the church was 3,012, although I know it was a bit more than that. 12 spoke tongues and 3,000 didn't. Which one is the kind of the gift you have to have? It doesn't necessarily work that way. And we receive the Spirit as believers. Because some people, and I don't know where you're at with this, and I know this is where the more kind of debate points come in. But what I believe the Bible teaches is as we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, when we believe, we receive the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit comes into our life. And so to say that when you receive the Spirit, you must speak in tongues in order to have received it, then there are many, many people who aren't speaking in tongues, but they receive the Spirit. And we know they receive the Spirit because Paul tells us, 1 Corinthians 12 earlier on, it says, just as the body is one, and we have has many members, and all the members of the body, though are many, are one body, so it is with Christ. So we're part of this one church. For in one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. So we receive that same Spirit. It's not, well, they got a more Holy Spirit than you did because they're doing that. They've got this gift. You didn't. It doesn't work that way. Romans 8, 9, you, however, are not controlled by sinful nature but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God is in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. So if we are followers, we are believers of Christ, we have the Spirit of Christ. So having the Holy Spirit does not automatically equal gift of tongues. And Ephesians reminds us that we are marked by the Holy Spirit. We are guaranteed eternal life, new heaven, new earth with God because of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not lightly given by God, but he does lavish it upon us. And through the Spirit come many, many gifts. I'm going to skip a few. So the point of the gift of tongues interpretation is about our relationship with God. Usually when it's a personal speaking with no interpretation, it could be through prayers, it could be through worship, it could be part of a corporate worship time, but something that's between you and God. There are also times when someone would speak, they would have a word of tongues, and it would be followed by an interpretation so we could all understand. And that is very in line often with prophecy. Not always. Prophecy is kind of definitely speaking about what God is going to do. Sometimes tongues can be something there for the moment, what God is saying to someone right now or to us as a church right now. But as Ali so beautifully pointed out last week, whenever we hear a word from God from someone, we must always test it. We must always discern it. That's not because we don't trust them, but that's just because that we are humans, we can make mistakes. And also so many times, so many places in history, the church has been drawn into false ideas of teaching and thinking because it's been hijacked, derailed by different ideas, different people. And so we must discern. We ask, is it biblical? Someone gives a tongue, there's interpretation. You say, is what I've just heard, does it make sense with what the Bible tells me? Is it in line with God's character? Is that the God that is shown to us through Scripture? Is it going to produce fruit? It might be a difficult word. Sometimes some of the words God will say to us, they are challenging. They may convict us. They may be painful for a moment. But does it bring fruit in our lives? Will it bring us to be closer to God? And do other Christians agree? And I think often that's a great one. Our ministry team, if you don't know how they operate, they meet before the service, they get together, they pray. And someone might say, I think God's given me a picture of X, Y, Z. I think God's given me this scripture. And rather than saying, great, write it down and tell the church, they go, let's pray into that, shall we? Let's see how the rest of us feel. And sometimes, and I remember years ago as part of that team, there were times when people would go, no one else really agrees with that, so let's just park it. We're not saying you're wrong, because we're Christians, and bless you. But we're just going to park it, and we're not necessarily going to bring it to all. We're going to just leave it, because maybe that's for you, or maybe that's for another time. And that's a good way, and I think the same way. When you hear someone speak in tongues, and it is followed by interpretation, we need to discern. We need to test it, much like we would with prophecy. So we're on the way in now. So you might be saying, well, what if I can't speak in tongues? What if that's just something I've not done? I don't know how to. But actually, you feel that kind of draw, and you may say, well, maybe that's something God wants to gift me with, or maybe that's something that you would like to ask God to gift you with and to see. I don't think it's wrong to request a gift from God. I don't think it's arrogant, because as long as your plan to use it is for building up of his kingdom. If you're saying, God, make me a healer because I'll make loads of money, then he's probably not going to give you the gift of healing. And I think it's the same with tongues. If you're saying, God, I want to be like Paul said, I want to have that chance for intimacy, or I want to be able to interpret. I hear so many tongues being spoken around me. God, let me help to interpret. I think we can ask. And we can request that. Then how do you go about it? What do you do? And for many of the gifts, we the first thing we do is we pray and we wait on God. And for some of them then, it's about the working out of that gift. You may pray, God, I said before, give me the gift of administration. But then if you never try and put it into practice, you'll never know if God's bestowed you with that gift. The gift of tongues is the same. It takes action. And every year at Soul Survivor, or every year, this man, Mike Pilavachi, tells the same story, which I have heard 18 times now, and it'll be 19 times this summer, about how he received the gift of tongues. He does not change the story. He has the same jokes at the same point, same stuff. But it still makes me giggle, because it reminds me of my experience of when God graciously gifted me with tongues. And it's just funny because they're so similar. And it makes you wonder, well, maybe other people have similar ideas. And my experience of the gift of tongues was very odd. It was bizarre. It was weird. At the time, I thought, this is rubbish. I'm just making all of this up. And it doesn't mean anything. I was about 14, 15, and had some very fervent kind of teenagers in the small youth group I was part of. And one guy called Luke invited me to his house because he wanted, on a Friday evening, because he wanted to read the Bible and pray. And I was like, yeah, go on then, why not? Told my mum said I had to go. So I went along and I thought, this is fine. Luke's a good guy. He was about 17, 18, he was 3 school years older than me. And he was a good guy to look up to. He runs a church in Liverpool now. And I remember we sat in his bedroom and we were listening to some worship music and we looked through bits of the Bible. And there was a bit about tongues. And so he was like, Dan, do you have the gift of tongues? And I'm like, I don't think so. No, what do you mean? And we talked about it. And he said, well, should we pray for it? And I said, well, okay, fine. So we prayed and I sat there, and prayed the thing. And Luke did a lot of praying, a lot of praying. And then he just went quiet. And I just looked up and he went, no, you need to talk now. I was like, oh, okay. And he said, no, not in English. You need to talk in tongues. And I was like, Luke, I don't know how to do that. He's like, no, but it's from God. You're going to get this. This went on. It must be about an hour, honestly. An hour back and forth. And I was sitting there thinking, this is just like, what? Maybe I just make something up just to shut him up and I'll go home. And it went back and forth. And eventually, I think he got a bit further away. But I remember him say, he stopped. And this was a God moment. Because I remember him saying, I think the problem here is you're expecting something magical to happen here, Dan. But, God's going to gift you something, but you need to use it. So you just need to just have a go. It doesn't matter if nothing happens or you just nothing's there. He said, but if you don't try and talk some words, you don't try and speak something, then nothing will ever occur. So I thought, okay, fine, because I kind of want to go home soon. So we sat there and we prayed again. And then he went quiet. And I knew what that meant. Something has to happen. And I don't really know what I said, I made some sort of noise. I kind of, and he went, yes, Dan, yes. So I made a bit more. And he went, yes, more. God, give him more. So I thought, he's enjoying this. So I made a bit more, and it sounded complete messy to me. A gobbledygook, it was a repetitive kind of thing, back and forth. And even now I look back and go, really? Like, what's going on there? But then I hear other people like Mike and other people who have given such similar stories of just that they started and it was just, you know, from an outsider they think, you're just talking gibberish. But yeah, kind of. Yes, it wasn't, you know, Aramaic or some, it was something which, and as I started to use it more, because I was encouraged to use it more, it started to kind of settle and it's changed and it's transformed over the years as well. Sometimes surprisingly to me, I'll speak or I'll pray, and I'm thinking, that sounds different to how it has done, you know, before. And am I making it up? Is it all coming from, probably partly yes, because I'm still in control. God doesn't possess me and use me against my will. But it is a language which transcends maybe kind of my initial understanding. It's something between me and God. And it's something that the Bible kind of reminds us that we don't lose control. Because Paul says, what then shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I also pray with my mind. I will sing with my spirit, but I also sing with my mind. And for me, my experience has certainly been that idea that this is not just crazy gobbledygook spilling out and I'm thinking, what is going on? Make it stop someone. There's this idea that, as he said later on, he's not an author of confusion, but of peace. And so when I'm speaking in tongues, it's often through prayer or worship, even though I'm not interpreting every syllable, every noise, every word, and someone else isn't for me, I still kind of know what's getting on. You know, I understand what is happening, even if initially no one else kind of gets it. It makes sense to me because it's prayer and worship. It's about outpouring to God. So someone may stop at me and go, damn, what on earth were you just saying right then? I couldn't say, oh, well, this noise meant this word and this noise meant... It would be, I just had a real sense of just the love God has lavished on me, and so I was just telling him how great that is. Or that we were singing about this in a worship song and it sent me off on a thing about all the greatness of God in my life. I wasn't using English, though, because English failed me. I'm no great rapper like Stormzy who can just go off on one. But so tongues takes over and becomes a spiritual language, not out of my control, but not in complete understanding. And I tried, as possible, not to use it in people's faces, not to disturb other people with it, because, harking right back, that's not the point of tongues when we are collected as church. Now, there may be a time when we hear a wonderful tongue and interpretation, and that will be great, but actually, it's not like we have to make it happen. That's not the point of it. And as we looked at last week, if you speak in tongues of men or of angels but don't have love, then the whole thing doesn't matter anyway. And I think when we use any of the gifts of the Spirit in a way which is like, look at me, I'm on the stage and I'm holy because I can do X, Y, Z. We were in the car a few weeks ago after Ignite, and this was talked about a little bit at Ignite, and the young people were full of questions. And one of the young people said, but I've heard my, let's just say, parents use tongues, and it always sounds the same, and I reckon they just turn it on and off whenever they want. And it's like, maybe they do. Maybe they can. And I was trying to explain to this person, but that doesn't mean there's not something great going on there. But if that person turned it on just for the sake of, you know, oh, look how Christian I am, blah, 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 in tongues, then suddenly this has gone out the window a little bit. We've dropped off what we're here to use the gifts for. So tongues, interpretation, important together for the body of Christ. Where there is no interpretations, then the tongue speakers should just shut up. Keep it to themselves, between them and God. For praise, for worship, for building their relationship with God is wonderful. Not all will have tongues, like all gifts, and that is fine. But it is something that we can ask for, we can pray to receive, but we need to exercise it. We need to put it into it. And I'll be honest, that is the weird bit. That is the difficult bit. And weird's probably the wrong word, but it felt weird to me. And even now, sometimes, you know, I see people going through the process, and I'm thinking, oh, they must feel awkward. It's just so difficult. But then, I don't know about anyone else, you know, the first time someone prayed for the gift of healing and then they went to someone in the street and went, you've got a broken leg, can I pray for God to heal it? I mean, that's not easy, is it? That, you know, if they're healed, that's wonderful, amazing. But if they're not and they hobble off, sorry, I tried. So this is why, you know, we've just got to go for it. And I think we, as a church, big C, we're meant to love each other through this and support each other. It's like prophecy. Someone might give a prophecy and everyone might sit there and go, nope, that's not, doesn't make any sense. But they tried it. They went for it. And I think it's the same with tongues. So I'm going to bring this to a close and invite the band up because we're going to worship. But I'd also like to give people an opportunity to pray to receive the gift of tongues and or interpretation. It might be both. In my case, it's not. I've never interpreted someone's tongues. I've interpreted my own tongues once, and it was literally like once only. Like I prayed for someone once to be healed, and there was a healing. Never after that has there ever happened before. So I think God is gracious, God is great, and God can gift us in moments. But if this is something you would like to pray for, because maybe God's been pulling on your heart, maybe through this talk, there's something inside you that's that sort of butterfly, that kind of stomach churning, you're thinking, yeah, there's something about this. Or maybe it's something that you actually realize, do you know what? I struggle with this. There's a lot of pain, there's a lot of hurt, there's a lot of experience I've had with this, which has been, and maybe that actually needs to be your prayer, that you kind of say, God, just can you give me a peace over this? It's not about receiving the gift, although God may want to do that, but it's just about saying, I would just like a peace about this, that this is a gift that people have and it can be used correctly, and allow God to do some healing in you. I did consider bringing people to the front, but actually, I think the way I'd like to do it is actually give you opportunity to pray with those around you. So you know that if you say, yes, I'd like prayer, then the people around you are going to kind of go, okay, people you trust and you pray for. So band, can you worship? And I'd like us all to be part of the worship because I think it's important. And I'm going to invite everyone to stand and worship. But if then during the worship you would like to receive prayer, you could either stick your hand in the air and everyone will go, oh, look, hand, and people around you will come and pray, or just ask the people that you feel comfortable with. And if none of this is for you, then worship, because that's great. So let's do that. Cool.